Good evening. Let's call to order the Sustainability Commission meeting of July 21st, 2025 at 7:01 p.m. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a cultural belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. The Sustainability Commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda being considered by the commission for the consent calendar or public hearing items. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, generally referred to as within the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to the agenda, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Sustainability Commission agenda. Use the show caption button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda or presentation items must be submitted prior to the time I call for oral communications. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close public hearing on the agenda items. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda item, which will strictly be enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the commission's meeting agenda. Please join me in the salute to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Raby, may we please have a roll call?
Yes, Commissioner Pistone?
Here. Oh, is it on?
Yeah.
Here.
Change.
Commissioner Coons is absent. Commissioner Jansen?
Here.
Commissioner Chang?
Here.
Vice Chair Nabhan?
Here.
Commissioner Ford?
Here.
And Commissioner Pronto?
Here.
And Councilmember Srinivasan is present. Thank you.
All right, and for the record, Commissioner Coons notified us in advance that he would not be able to attend tonight's meeting, and his absence has been excused. So this is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda and presentation item. This section is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearing general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communication. This Sustainability Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time and place and manner of speech. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, which is known as the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside the commission's subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the commission to conduct its business in a reasonable, efficient manner and protect the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreement with the content of their speech. Please submit a speaker card to Ms. Raby. Raise your digital hand now or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. And we have one speaker, AJ.
But I know you need to speak. I want to speak about a CIP project that is happening at the wastewater plant and the smart station. So the part that I'm discussing in particular right now is the smart station combination wastewater plant. And the reason that I have formed this opinion or have this question in my mind is by looking at different contracts, different projects, and it seems that a lot of work that is performed by the city is performed by consulting engineers and contractors. So the city staff basically doesn't perform majority of the work. So I want to talk about the anaerobic digester that is going to be added at the wastewater plant site for the purpose of the solid waste, as well as the power generation. So, and the upgrade to the solid waste processing facility, MRF, is like $51 million. The power is $27 million, and the anaerobic digester is about $20 million. And I don't know what the yard piping is going to be in addition to that. Considering the fact that the solid processing is contracted out, the power generation in the form that it is right now, which is a fraction of what it will be, it is contracted out. The MRF operation is contracted out. The solid waste collection is contracted out. Landfill that is closed and it should have been out of the post-closure last year is still being performed by consultants and so on and so forth. So considering all of that, and last time that I looked in engineering, you look at alternatives. So I think that one alternative in this arena would be to have shipped out the food processing to another facility, a larger facility that already has all of this infrastructure in place. The land available to the wastewater plant is only 17 acres. So take some of that and add it to solid waste is not very smart in layout of this project. Especially when you look at the two aeration basin, the existing one, which is not aeration basin, it's an oxidation pond, and the aeration basin that is being added and modification to the oxidation pond to turn it to an aeration basin. These two are at two different locations, which means that the air, you have to do two blower system. So it increases the cost. So if the width of your land is going to be affected because you are installing some infrastructure for solid waste processing, you are shortchanging the public because public ends up paying more than it should because there was something like $3 million or $6 million grant for this food processing that somebody thought it would be a good idea to do it. But then there is no alternatives. So usually what we do, we look at the alternatives and see which one is the most cost-effective way of doing a project. I have asked for information. Such a thing does not exist on this project. So I don't know what your ability is about requesting that kind of document, but I think it will help overall with the cost of the project if that is done. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Ms. Raby, do we have any remote participants wishing to speak on oral communications?
No, we do not.
I will go ahead and close oral communications. Next up, we have our study session 250773 ESD 23-01 Climate Budgeting Study Issue Update. I will turn it over to staff to provide an update for the commission.
Sorry, give me a second. Okay, great. Did you want to start?
Sure. All right. We're very happy to be bringing study issue 23-01, climate budgeting, to the commission tonight for discussion. Next slide. We're going to kick off with just a refresher on the background of the study issue. Christina is going to walk us through the climate budgeting concept, what it is, a few climate budgeting approaches that we've researched, a bit of information about the pilot that we ran just this last fiscal year, and then we'll dive into what our recommended approach is and how we envision wrapping up the study issue. So this study issue was proposed as part of the fiscal year 23-24 process. It was proposed and sponsored and ranked by the Sustainability Commission, and then was also ranked by council and was funded above the line in the fiscal year 23-24 budget, which meant that staff was able to kick it off starting around July of 2023. We estimated it was going to take about 18 months to complete, and we did have some funding for consultant to support the work. However, we decided that we could complete this in-house and were able to do so. We did need about an additional 6 months before bringing this to the commission and council, mainly due to some staff turnover, and that fell right towards the end of our original 18-month estimation. The key elements of the study issue that was to research and evaluate climate budgeting and develop or recommended approach for Sunnyvale to implement. And that timeline is there for you to see below. Next slide. All right, and I'll kick it over to Christina to walk us through some of the research.
Okay, hello, commissioners. For the record, my name is Christina Raby, and I was assigned to study issue ESD 2301, climate budgeting, to research and provide you and then City Council this update on my findings and staff's recommendation for the next steps. So I wanted to first set the groundwork for what climate budgeting is. It's a fairly new concept, and only a handful of cities around the world have formally adopted what's called climate budgeting into their operations. So it's a governance system to integrate a city's climate commitments into funded, measurable actions. It's a way to operationalize a city's climate action plan if they have one, and prioritize spending on projects with high impacts on emissions reduction efforts. It's also a method to embed climate targets and considerations into routine budget decision-making processes. And overall, it's a great way for cities to measure their progress and manage their spending in a way that promotes climate action. And so through my research, what I'm finding is that these are the most common things to do to make sure your organization is operationalizing climate budgeting. So you really want to integrate sustainability staff right off the bat, involve all departments, start with qualitative assessments, be flexible and adaptive, especially since this is a new concept. It's really the main focus is to create a climate budget that works for your current processes and what is going to work for your city, and then communicate to the public and be as transparent as possible. So based on these definitions, we've realized that Sunnyvale has already been implementing some of the climate budgeting concepts into our own processes ourselves. And these are a few ways that we've operationalized already through policy decisions and projects. So on the policy side, we have an electric vehicle or EV first policy. And so as vehicles come up for replacement, the new vehicles will be EVs unless there isn't an option for an EV. And then we have our purchasing policy. And so I highlighted this screenshot here. So when you go into our Amazon portal that we have on our internal webpage, you can see that there's different products that our organization has preferred, and you'll see that little banner up top. And then we're going to be integrating that into our Office Depot and Staples portals as well internally. And then for projects, I just wanted to pull out a couple projects that align with our climate action playbook. So our Perry Park Rides shuttle program aligns with Move 3F, and then city maintained tree inventory aligns with Move 4M. So now I'm going to go into some of the approaches I found while conducting my research. So as I noted, climate budgeting is a really new concept, and there were just a few examples to go off of when I started my research on this topic. This table shows some of those examples with key highlights on what those cities are doing to operationalize climate budgeting in their organization. And so when Madeline and I reviewed these approaches with finance, We decided as a group to narrow in on Paris, France, and Flagstaff, Arizona, as those approaches seemed most aligned with Sunnyvale's current budget process and seemed easier to integrate into what we're currently doing. In the following slides, I'll dive deeper into those two cities. I also wanted to note that many of these cities on this table are very large metropolitan cities, and case examples like Sunnyvale were hard to find. Flagstaff was the closest in population size that I could find in my research, but it isn't to say that there aren't other cities that have adopted something similar to climate budgeting. These are just the cities that explicitly state online that they are implementing and operationalizing climate budgeting in some way or shape or form. Okay, so the first approach I studied was the Institute for Climate Economics, or I4CE. This approach is based out of Paris, and it's a think tank with expertise in economics and finance with the mission to support action against climate change. The approach includes a comprehensive macro level perspective of the city's budget line by line to ensure budgetary alignment with overarching climate action plan objectives. And it also classifies budget items as favorable, which are reducing emissions, or unfavorable, increasing emissions. And so between 2014 and 2016, Paris, France piloted this approach. And I believe that they're still tailoring their approach to this day to work with their current budget process. And what they do is allow their citizens to vote on projects as a way to prioritize or deprioritize spending on climate related items. And they also hold a significant share of their budget to fund favorable projects based off of what their citizens vote on. And so this image is a really great image that shows kind of those highly favorable, quite favorable, neutral, unfavorable, and undefined categories. And so you'll see that the highly favorable or favorable categories are the ones that would essentially reduce emissions in their city, and then neutral and unfavorable they're the ones that would increase or potentially increase emissions. And so there's, for neutral, there'd be more study that needed to go into that. Okay, so now I'll be describing Flagstaff, Arizona's approach. I wanted to first note that something we liked is that they included their sustainability director early in the fiscal budgeting process to help identify projects that best align with their cap. And I actually was able to speak to their director, and she said that this has been a huge success in ensuring that programs and projects align with their climate and community goals. So Flagstaff uses a model called priority-based budgeting, which is a budgeting approach that aligns financial resources with climate action goals instead of the traditional line item budgeting where funding is allocated to departments based on past spending. Priority-based budgeting prioritizes programs and services based on their impact and value to the community, including climate action objectives as identified in their climate action and adaptation plan. They also take into account their community's goals and have an entire dashboard dedicated to informing the community on how they are aligning their spending with their community's needs, as well as their climate action and adaptation plan. And the finance team and sustainability staff created tailored questions to incorporate their CAP and community goals into priority funding decisions. And they are now able to answer these three questions, which are, what do we do? And to answer this, the city creates a list of all the programs or services that it offers. And then, what does it cost? And to answer that, the city allocates all of their personnel costs, non-personnel costs, and revenues collected to each program that is offered. And then the third question is, do the programs offered align with the priorities of the community? And to answer this, the city council and Flagstaff residents determine the community's key community priorities and objectives for the upcoming fiscal year. And programs and services are offered by the city that best match those objectives. And I will show those in the next slide. And so here is a snapshot of their priority-based budgeting dashboard. And so what we also liked was the transparency in this dashboard. And it really highlights those 8 priority areas that the community has identified as priority areas that they want the city to be spending their money on. And then it also has climate action and adaptation plan alignment. Okay, and then this is just another snapshot. I decided to highlight their dark green category, which is environmental stewardship, which is one of their priorities, and how it aligns with the line items. And so they also, what staff does is they will align each of the projects with their community goals and climate action plan, and then they score them based off of a 0 to 4 ranking. And so all of these in environmental stewardship are considered a category 4, which means that they align with their climate action plan, their community's needs, and they're reducing in some way emissions. Okay, and now I'm going to hand it back over to Madeline to talk about our budget cycle.
Great. So once we'd finished research on this project, we were discussing kind of what we found and learning from our colleagues. And oh, sorry, let me, before I start, I did not introduce myself. My name is Madeline Kerr. I'm the Environmental Programs Manager for Environmental Services. We also worked with our colleagues in the finance department. So after Christina and I compiled the research and looked through it all, we met with finance to kind of pick through, like, you know, what sounds good, what works well with our budget process. So I did want to cover just a quick overview and kind of high level of what our budget process looks like. So that way we all had that good understanding. So fiscal year 25-26, what we just went through, just adopted, was capital improvement projects budget cycle. So these were the guiding principles that helped us develop that budget. Number one, it supports council policy and strategic priorities. Council's new strategic priorities are on that screen there. So responsive government, welcoming community, sustainable city, housing solutions, and modern infrastructure. And we are hoping to keep council strategic priorities for 2 years now and adopt those on a 2-year cycle. So that way it'll line up with budget and some of our work planning. This budget was focused on capital projects specifically. So for that reason, we thought it was a good opportunity for us to really look at how we could integrate some climate budgeting principles into this. It optimizes revenue sources and uses with discipline and vision, meets all legal requirements, and the funds are balanced in the 10 to 20 years per city charter and council policy. So I just took this from the May budget workshop. So this is kind of a budget outlook. Again, looking at that 10 and 20 year revenues, expenditures, our stabilization fund. Sunnyvale has always been a very fiscally responsible city in terms of making sure that we are maintaining a good stabilization fund and have reserves there to fall back on when outlook gets unstable. And so this is just kind of the product of basically following those guidelines. Next slide. And then this is what our process looks like. So for the fiscal year 25-26 budget process, we really start working on that in about October of 2024 with all departments. However, finance really is working on budget. It's a year-round job for them. They're publishing one budget and then the next month starting on the following year's budget. So budget kicks off with departments in the October to December timeframe. They meet one-on-one with every department, go through kind of what the timeline process is going to look like, and then staff can begin to make updates to project budgets, descriptions, think through any requests for new funding, things like that. January through March, we work on new projects, changes in scope. We do a lot of our performance indicator metrics, things of that nature. And then that's when we really start to input all the data. So there's actually 2 software systems that go into creating a budget. How finance navigates between those 2, I could not tell you. Maybe our colleagues will be able to if anyone really wants to know. But it's just a heavy lift and it's pretty complex is what the main point here is. We start finalizing budget updates towards the end of Q1 in 2025. It goes through a pretty heavy internal review process. So that way by May, we're able to publish the recommended budget. May through June is pretty busy with public comment, adoption hearings, workshops, all that good stuff. And next slide. So what we did for this fiscal year was added a checkbox. So when we go into our one of our softwares, every project has a page. That's where we make a lot of the edits to the narratives, any edits to the budget. And then there are, you know, different questions and kind of characteristics for that project that we check or identify. So we added a climate action related checkbox there this year, just to kind of like test run, see what this looked like, what kind of results it generated. We did find that we needed a lot more education up front. It wasn't widely used. So we have a lot more climate action related projects in the budget than what ended up getting checked and totaled for this category. But it was a good learning process for us, and we got to kind of see what this would look like. And since this is a study issue and we're just studying what it would take to implement it, it helped inform kind of what our recommended approach is going to be. All right, so this is the list of projects that did get marked for climate action related. And so we've got a total of what was being spent on those projects for that fiscal year, as well as over the next 20 years. And this is really a good kind of snapshot of what we're hoping to be able to do with our recommendation. Okay. So jumping into the recommendation. What we want to achieve, or what we think Sunnyvale should focus on, is tracking spending on the climate action plan supportive projects. So really doing that education with our partner departments and having the sustainability staff involved in those initial meetings with the different departments to train them. Okay, this is what this checkbox means. We also would like to eventually integrate the opportunity for like a strategy to be selected alongside that. So it's not just that it's climate action related, but they're tying it back into the strategy that it supports. And this will really help us understand, you know, how much we're spending on climate action that's not just within our climate action plan project, right? So we have the one project number that supports when we adopt a new game plan. We put funding in there to study different things, implement some of the specific projects in there, but there's a lot of work being done that's already budgeted for that we aren't tracking as part of that process. And so this would really help us track that and then be able to look at spending at a strategy level. So if we know that we have a lot of work to do in strategy two and our spending isn't tracking with putting a lot of our effort there, that's a good way for us to check that. And then this can be developed, you know, over time. So we do envision this kind of being like a slowly evolving thing where eventually we'll be able to look back over the years and look at our spending trends per strategy and gain insights from that. And then this will just really help bring sustainability considerations into the decision-making process. So climate action and our climate action plan is become more and more of a priority year after year. The community is very supportive of it. Council is very supportive of it. We're presenting an annual update to council now as part of our process. And so just this is another layer in which that we are adding sustainability considerations into decision-making and public review process. So what that would look like is for the next project's budget cycle, which would be fiscal year 27-28, the sustainability team would prep with finance on training for what the checkbox would look like, work with them to see what the capabilities are with the software. Finance team would host their budget kickoff meetings. Sustainability staff would be involved, offer training to staff and have it recorded so that it's available to go back to and look at. And then we would be involved in that initial implementation review of projects. That way we can really catch where someone might not have checked the box and needed to, or checked it and it maybe wasn't aligned. Ideally, we're only doing that really thorough review one time, and then it's just as projects are added from there. And then what we're hoping to be able to publish in that final budget is a much more comprehensive summary of how spending is related how spending is looking with climate related budget items. So currently we do have in the city manager's memo a kind of a high level overview of how the budget is aligns with the different priorities. And so there are some projects that are called out there and that, and this would just supplement that, that kind of message with a lot more detail. So I did want to talk about some of the reasons, some of the things we're not recommending in this approach and why. Number one would be the quantification of emissions per project. And that's just because it's incredibly costly and time intensive, and with a pretty minimal impact in terms of decision making. So for the most part, it's pretty clear when a project is well aligned with our climate action plan and when it's not. And there are very few times that we've found that something has been just, you know, really not aligned with climate action, and just the time it would take to quantify emissions for you know the hundreds of projects that we review as part of this budget process, it's not a good return on the investment. The other thing that this doesn't really allow us to do is prioritize or deprioritize projects based on alignment. So one of the some of the softwares that other cities use and some of the ways that they went through this was really as projects came up, like, you know, highly favorable or unfavorable. And so we're not really adding that into the system just because the way that our process is, it's pretty, like I said, hard to integrate. Excuse me, the sun is right in my eyes. So, you know, this Flagstaff City, I think, was the one that integrated the software to be able to do that. So their priority-based budget system actually has like a software component. And they were explaining that that doesn't integrate really easily with their current softwares that they use. And it can, again, be complex and costly. And so just with the current process that we have, we felt that our recommendations can get us a really good insight and get us really close to what we think climate budgeting can be for Sunnyvale without some of these other aspects that other cities might do. And as Christina said, you know, being flexible and adaptive in how we approach this, how we define it, it's not really well defined. The other thing we found is other cities are doing something similar to this and not calling it climate budgeting. It might just be a part of their process. And so we've talked to a few cities just recently, like at a conference, and found that some people are doing something kind of similar in a way of having a checkbox or something to indicate it's aligning with the priority. And I think with that, we're ready for questions and feedback.
All right, well, thank you very much for the thorough presentation. I know we've been talking about climate budgeting for a long time, so it's very exciting to hear this. So I will open the floor up to my fellow commissioners to ask questions and comments.
Work went into this. Congratulations. It's a big project. And the question that I hope that we can get a little bit more detail on is you talked about implementing steps. And I'm curious to know what the step is that's next on the agenda.
No, the next one, sorry. This is the next one's the timeline. Yeah, this one, thank you. So next immediate step, right? We're getting feedback from you, considerations. We'll go to council October or August 12th for a study session with them, in which we will get feedback from council. What we're really looking for there is kind of a general like consensus that the approach that we're recommending is a good approach, and yes, proceed with implementing that. We'll take any feedback and considerations from them there. If there's, you know, any of those things that we're not recommending for inclusion, that because they're very costly or requiring additional staff time, that would be a further conversation, or the study would have to continue further for us to investigate, like get a better detailed analysis of what that would entail. But if it's thumbs up, proceed as planned, then for the fiscal year 27-28 projects budget cycle, these are the steps that we would implement.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Pistone.
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. This is great. So the part that I'm struggling with is the checkbox of it's related to climate, or if it's not checked, that means it's not related to climate. And I feel like everything can be related to climate if you look at it in the correct way. I like what you said about being able to eventually, if I understood correctly, have the checkbox have like a drop-down menu for the different strategies and plays and stuff. But I wonder if there's room for a yes, it's related to climate, thumbs up, and yes, it's related to climate, but thumbs down, sort of like in line with what Christina presented with the Paris things of some things are more or less neutral, some things are positive, and then there are some things that I think we discussed in the last budget issue, some things will definitely be negative. So I wonder if you've considered that, or if that's too complicated to have like a positive checkbox and a negative checkbox, or a does it get more complicated then?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, it gets more complicated.
Is it undoably complicated?
Yeah, we weren't able to come up with a way to determine how a project isn't aligned. And again, I think it just comes down to that doesn't happen very frequently, right? We've had one project that has repeatedly been in your guys' recommendations on budget, but that staff have discussed and weighed internally what the pros and cons of that project are and whether or not we should move forward with it. And it's just been decided that yes, it is. So us adding that checkbox wouldn't prevent that, right. Wouldn't have prevented that project from being funded. Or changing the checkbox from a thumbs up, thumbs down, right? Because those conversations are happening, those considerations are made. So that's kind of what I was getting at here with this final bullet on this slide, is that it's not that the conversations aren't being had anymore. They are. It's just they're not always. We have a handful of priorities, and sustainability is one of them. So they do have to be weighed against others.
Yeah, and it's putting it all into one sort of system. Yeah, mm-hmm. I get it. It's complicated, almost like everything's related to climate. Thanks.
Yes.
Commissioner Ford.
You mentioned for Flagstaff that their sustainability director was involved with early budget planning. Are we planning on doing something similar for Sunnyvale?
We don't have a sustainability director. We have myself as an environmental programs manager and then our director. And so we do intend to have, I think the next slide, Christina, our team would be engaging with finance before their meeting with the departments to kick off project's budget cycle to develop that training, really make sure like we're understanding, you know, how this is really integrated. And then we would be doing that review in December through May of the projects, you know, what are listed, what's checked. And so that's how we envision being involved in this process. So yeah, we are luckily, because Christina and I serve as liaisons to the Sustainability Commission, we already review the project's budget. And so this isn't a huge additional lift for us. This is something we're already doing, and now we can just do in a little bit more concrete way ahead of schedule when we would typically do it in May once the budget's released, and kind of really quickly reference our keyword search through the published budget documents. Anything to add? Okay.
All right, Commissioner Jansen.
Thank you. This was very interesting and actually very timely, because we all got an email from a community member that talked about our parks and port in place rubber and their concerns about the environmental side of things. So I do have a question, but as I read the email, I was trying to figure out where the line is, right? Because the parks development is not a sustainability thing that's under the Parks and Rec Commission. But conversely, if they're using materials that have a negative environmental impact, that could be a sustainability thing. And so I think maybe getting back to Commissioner Pistone's questions, this idea of a checkbox, like in a project like that, and that box is checked, that doesn't mean necessarily that it would come before an additional review by the Sustainability Commission, correct? You're just trying to collect metrics of how much money are we spending to support various strategies?
Correct. We would do a review in terms of checking that, yes, this actually is in alignment with the climate action plan, playbook strategies and moves. So there might be some additional questions or follow-up that we do, but yeah, we couldn't get super in the weeds with every project just because of the time considerations.
Okay, so there's not like, I guess my assumption, I think it's correct, is you wouldn't have to check that it has to be climate related. Kind of to your point of everything is climate related, but that isn't a requirement to necessarily move forward on a project.
Correct. There's not a requirement.
And then my second question, because I'm new to all of this, the environmental purchasing policy that was like the example on slide 7, maybe. Did we make our own list of vendors that fall under that environmental purchasing power? Is there like a standard list of vendors that we got from someone?
That I'm not entirely sure. That was actually our solid waste and recycling department or division that is in charge of that specific part of our Amazon portal. But I can double check on that and circle back with you all.
Okay, I'd be curious. I know this is exciting, and I was excited to see some of the work that Sunnyvale is already doing. So thank you very much.
Yeah. And then just to add to that, like she's talking about these portals. So we do have, you know, like blanket purchasing agreements with Office, Staples, and Amazon for, and that's like piggybacking off of them. So we're working with those organizations, and they're large, and they have these awesome software systems where they can customize things. So that way you can, you know, have products prioritized and things like that. So it's not necessarily in our vendor selection, as we are working with these vendors and now integrating updates to policy with them.
All right, Commissioner Peronto.
Thank you. I'm interested in incentives. I think in a couple of the researches that you did, there was some work on incentives for the participants in the budget area, the different departments, to get rewards for overachievement in the environment. Did I see that correctly? Or I'm just trying to figure out how we can encourage more energy rather than just doing a paperwork exercise in checkboxes, how we at Sunnyvale could make it the departmental leads or appropriate places compete a little bit for an incentive because they got more done than was anticipated, or they found an extra efficient way to be more environmentally accomplished. So sometimes people respond positively to incentives if they're favorable.
Yeah, I didn't find that in my research, but I think that's something that we can take into consideration and maybe come up with some type of a game or, yeah, way for departments to really get more excited about.
I'm just concerned that some of the departments look at what we're trying to accomplish here as just an additional burden, that it complicates their life, it complicates their purchasing, and so they kind of try and work around it to nominally do what they're supposed to do, but not really upset their apple cart, if you will. And I'd like to figure out a way to pay them to upset their apple cart.
I think, you know, like Christina said, some simple gamification might be possible, but in terms of really integrating an incentive program into our budget process, you would have to be really careful that the way that you're incentivizing it doesn't disincentivize safety or health or another priority like housing or something else. And so that can be really tricky. I think what we're seeing in California all the time is that we have priorities that should be maybe better aligned and they aren't. Housing and sustainability is a perfect example. We've just I'll give an update a little later on a bill that passed that is a perfect example of that. So it can be really hard. And sometimes state laws and programs and different requirements that different departments have to meet don't all comply for it. So for us to integrate a program would like be really complex because we'd have to think through different scenarios and ensure that we aren't increasing costs to the citizens for a project because of a sustainability aspect or increasing you know, maybe a project becomes more favorable because it has sustainability, but this other one was going to do some other really essential core service that might not have the same highest connection point with sustainability. Can also be really hard to quantify a lot of the resilience aspects of projects, cultural, social benefits of projects, things like that. So it just, I think that just comes back to that really big, complex, tricky problem that we have.
Good answer. Thank you for helping me understand the challenge.
All right, Commissioner Chang.
So sorry if this question is something that's covered that I just don't know about, but I just wanted to clarify in terms of publicizing and transparency surrounding this data, is there any way for members of the public to able to see what projects are kind of checked with the sustainability checkbox besides the annual budget summary?
Not currently. So that is something that we can look at and think about as we're going through this process. Right now it would just be a summary within the budget. That's what we have planned, but we have our climate action dashboard. So whether there's something there or, we'll think about that as we go through this. I think, like I said, it's kind of meant to be iterative and we'll kind of see how each year goes and builds off of that.
Commissioner Ford.
Yeah, I was going to mention putting it onto the dashboard. I feel like only the very rare person will go out and look at a budget summary. I did have another question for the 25-26 adopted budget projects marked climate action related. Is that just a couple projects that you guys picked, or were there only five that were marked?
I believe there were only these five that were marked. So. Like I said, we just we'll have to have a little bit more education, and it's a complex and long process for staff. And some staff departments might have admin support, and others don't, and they have to do the entire process themselves. And so, like as a program manager, I had to learn that myself. I did not have admin staff available, and it takes a few years, honestly, to like really understand everything that goes into. Every step of this process and what certain things mean and how that turns out in the long run. So I think a lot of education up front is really, really key.
Yeah, and I'll just add that our finance team did mention it in the early stages that there is a new climate action related checkbox. But again, there just wasn't sustainability staff really integrated up front to really hone in on the importance of checking to see if your project really does align with our cap and then selecting that box. I think it just was mentioned in the front end and then kind of fell off throughout the process. And so that's something that we've taken as sustainability staff that we want to really try to bolster up that education piece in the next cycle.
Has there been any analysis on the number of projects that could have been checked for 25-26?
Not beyond what we do with the commission. So we do send out when the budget gets released, we send out an email that kind of highlights quite a few projects that we think are related to the climate action playbook. So apart from that email, we haven't done a really thorough analysis beyond that, but.
Okay. Yeah. Do you guys have a guess on like, is it a lot of projects that could have been checked, like a little?
A lot more than five. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyone else, any other commissioners have any questions? All right. Well, thank you very much for the great presentation. I have a couple of questions and great questions by all my commissioners. So first question, with Flagstaff and other cities, do you know how long it took them to implement climate budgeting when you talked to them?
Yeah, they're still implementing it, actually. I didn't really touch on their software system. Madeline did a little bit, but they're using a software system called Resource X, or they're trying to, and they said that they're having a really hard time integrating it into their current software systems, and they're not talking to each other well. And so they're still trying to parse out how that's going to work, because they want to use the system, because from what they've said, it really does kind of do a lot of the back end work that maybe staff would have had to do, where you just plug in all the projects and then it can kind of spit out which ones would align. with their CAP and their community needs, but they're still kind of in the process of trying to figure that out. But right now they're just having sustainability staff really incorporated into their process early on and throughout the whole time, and then doing their priority-based budgeting that I talked about in my slides.
So if we're to move forward with this, what is the timeline we estimate where it's fully implemented? 5 years, 10 years?
So can you pull up slide 9? Yeah. So I think that what we tried to kind of make clear here is it's not really well defined, right? So like we're implementing aspects of climate budgeting now. We can definitely do more, and that's kind of what we have highlighted. And so that it's every 2 years that we do a project cycle. We really haven't looked at what it would take to look at this from an operational standpoint. The way that our operating budget process works it's not as simple to integrate something like a checkbox, and it's all staff time. So a lot of these, you know, like Oslo started in 2016. I think, let's see, New York and Flagstaff were both, when we kicked off this project, like we couldn't find any information about it. And then like 2 years in, then we started like pretty much, I think the dashboard that Christina shared actually just came up within the last like 2 months. And we were able to screenshot that and get it into the PowerPoint and include some of that. But it's budget processes and cycles are pretty long and extensive. And so, you know, the change that we expect to see, like maybe if we do two more project budget cycles, right? We go through integrating this checkbox and the strategies, all that. We'll have a lot of lessons learned and can kind of continue to build off of that. But I imagine it'll evolve pretty continuously. I don't know that we'll ever get to a point that we're like, that's perfect. Leave it exactly like that.
Excellent. Thank you. And I just have one more quick question. With the EV First program, how many city facilities have the infrastructure in place to accept an EV or have electricity needs to be able to install a charger? Is that a common thing around the city, or are most of them having issues there?
We are working on a fleet electrification plan that will really help us understand that. We do not have a significant charging infrastructure established at our various facilities, and we have a really high influx of EVs coming in this year. So we're looking at alternatives for getting those vehicles charged that doesn't involve infrastructure projects that take years.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Yeah. Thank you. I see Commissioner Jansen has her hand raised. So Mr. Jansen.
Sorry, one last thought. Because we had talked about the ranking of things for, like, are they climate friendly or are they not climate friendly? And I was just thinking, going back to slide 9, where it had talked about, I think, France, right, they're classifying projects as favorable or unfavorable climate-wise. I think it would be super cool as a member of the public if I could go to all of the projects in the city and have them, like, ranked not just for the sustainability council priority, but the other 4 or 5 that they have. And I know that's beyond the scope of this, but I think that would be super cool. So I'll be done.
All right. Now I'll call on members of the public wishing to participate in person first, followed by remote participants. So AJ, if you'd like to come up. And speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. So, Christina.
I don't know how producing recycled water could be a climate action project. Actually, it has an adverse effect because the filtration, ultrafiltration, reverse osmosis, they are energy haulers. I mean, they use a lot of energy to produce water. And when we evaluate those kind of project from cost-benefit analysis, always energy consumption is a negative on that project. So I don't know how in city of Sunnyvale that turns out to be a climate action positive project. The same thing with the recycled water pipeline expansion. You already have all of the infrastructure in place, digging out ditches and putting in more pipe. I don't know how it helps, because energy consumption, efficiency, it has a lot to do with entropy, second law of thermodynamics. And the more that you do, the more you create. So again, I don't know how that could be a positive project as far as the climate action is concerned. Thank you.
All right, next up, we'll move on to item 25-0774 to approve the Sustainability Commission meeting minutes from May 19th, 2025. I'll go ahead and open public comments on consent calendar item 25-0774 to approve the Sustainability Commission meeting minutes of May 19th, 2025. Please submit a speaker card to Ms. Raby or raise your digital hand now or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I'll call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Ms. Raby, do we have anyone wishing to speak on this item?
No, we have none in person or online.
All right. I will now call for someone to make a motion to approve this. All right, Commissioner Pistone.
I move to approve the minutes for the meeting that was May, right? Yep.
All right, Commissioner Pronto.
I second the motion.
All right. Ms. Raby, do we have a roll call vote for this?
Yes. Or
Sorry. Commissioner Pronto was not in attendance for May, so Commissioner Jansen.
I will second.
Thank you.
Thank you for catching that. Okay, so we're ready now for the vote. Okay, so approval of consent calendar item 25-0774. Vice Chair Nabhan, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Chang, you can abstain since you weren't here.
Abstain.
Thank you. Commissioner Pistone?
Yes.
Commissioner Ford?
Abstain.
Commissioner Coons is absent. Commissioner Jansen?
Yes.
And Commissioner Pronto?
Abstain.
Thank you.
So we only have three that were here for that. So is that majority? That's not going to pass, right? Yes. Okay, perfect. Thank you. I've never had that before, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
And then just a point of clarification, if you weren't here, but you read the minutes while you're out, you can vote on them, right? We've been told that by city clerk.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
Commissioner Pistone.
But just to clarify, so you could read the minutes, but do you also have to watch the recording? I would think, because the point of the minutes is to ensure that it's accurately capturing what happened in the meeting, right? So,
yeah.
Okay.
But you don't have to abstain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Good to know. Thanks.
All right, I will now close public comments. Oh, sorry, we did that right. Sorry, that's all flat. Okay, now we can move to our public hearing item for the night. Item 250632 is to select a new chair and vice chair for the Sustainability Commission. The term will be from our next meeting until June 30th, 2026. Now I'll provide a brief summary of the process for selection of chair and vice chair. I will first open the floor for nominations for the role of chair for this coming year. Members may nominate anyone on the commission, excluding themselves. Then we will ask for a second for the motion. After each nomination, I'll open the floor for additional nominations. Each person that is nominated should indicate whether they accept or decline the nomination. Absent members are able to submit in writing whether they would accept or decline a nomination prior to tonight's meeting. I will note that Commissioner Coons accepted a nomination for vice chair if nominated tonight. Then, before we vote, those who are nominated may speak to their goals and reasons if they choose to. Once all nominations have been received for the chair seat, I'll close the nominations and open public comment on this item. Once public comment is closed, we will vote on each person, beginning with the first person who is nominated, and then continue in order of the nominations. The nominations with the majority of yes votes hold the new chairperson seat. After, we will repeat the same process for the vice chair seat. Are there any questions and or comments on this process before we begin? Commissioner Chang.
Are the new commissioners allowed to vote on this? Okay. Yes.
All right, we'll now start the nominations for chair seat. Commissioner Jansen.
I nominate Vice Chair Nabhan for chair of the commission.
Commissioner Pistone.
I will second the nomination.
All right. Are there any additional nominations? All right. Seeing none, let's see. I guess.
Would you like
yes.
to speak?
Sorry, I'm just going online. Sorry. Okay. So I do accept the nomination. Thank you. And yes, it is a long script. Sorry. I guess we move on to vote, assuming there's no other nominations. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, Christina, can you please?
Yeah. So for approval to select Vice Chair Nabhan as chair of the Sustainability Commission, Commissioner Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Pistone?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nabhan?
Yes.
Commissioner Jansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Pronto?
Yes.
Commissioner Chang?
Yes.
And Commissioner Coons is absent. So the motion to approve Vice Chair Nabhan for the role of chair of the Sustainability Commission passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. I look forward to working with all of you in the future. Thank you very much.
Great. Would you like to speak on it at all?
I'm grateful for all of your nominations, and I look forward to moving forward in the city of Sunnyvale and trying to do the best we can to promote sustainability in the city. So thank you. Okay. So now we'll move on to the nominations for vice chair. Commissioner Pronto.
I nominate Commissioner Coons.
Commissioner Jansen.
I can second that nomination.
Okay, do we have any other nominations? I'll nominate Commissioner Pistone. Commissioner Jansen.
I'll second that too. But then I'm done.
All right. Hearing no other nominations, each person should nominate whether they indicate they want to accept or decline. I know Commissioner Coons already said he would accept. So, Christina.
Yeah, I mean, I think Commissioner Coons would do a great job, and I hope that I would also do a good job. I have enjoyed my time on the Sustainability Commission. I hope I've brought some things to the commission that wouldn't otherwise have been discussed. And either way, I hope to continue in my capacity on the Sustainability Commission. I don't know that there's any bad votes here, though.
All All right, seeing no other nominations, I'll close the nominations and open public comment on this item. So anyone would like to comment?
Sorry, did you open it for public comment? Was that?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, there's nobody in person or online wishing to speak on this item.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So public comments are now closed. We will vote on each person, beginning with the first person who was nominated, and then continue in that order. So actually, can I have a clarifying question? Can we only vote for one, or can we vote? How does that work? I think what it says is it says the majority of no. Yeah, so I think we can only vote for one because the nomination with the majority yes votes.
Yeah.
So I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So we'll go with Kunz first and then vote yes or no if you with whatever you wish to vote on for him. And then we will do the same for Pistone, and then whoever has the majority will get the seat.
You can only vote for one. You can only vote yes.
Yeah, only vote yes for one. So if you need some time, or I know Commissioner Kunz isn't here to, yeah.
Commissioner Kunz,
Commissioner Chang, do you have a question?
Are we allowed to abstain on the vote?
Yeah, you can.
That's what I was just going to say. So you can vote yes and then vote an abstention instead of voting yes and a no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Commissioner Jansen.
That way you're not knowing, you're not saying no to anybody, you're just abstaining from that vote.
Yeah, you can abstain as well.
Can someone speak to whether or not either commissioner has been chair or vice chair before? Because I've only been here for a year.
Yes, so Commissioner Kunz was chair and vice chair. And I can't remember the number of years, but was chair at least two, maybe?
I think he was chair only 1 year, and then maybe vice chair 2 years.
That sounds correct. Yeah,
I'm going to agree.
Yeah, I believe he was vice chair for 1 year, and no, chair for 1 year, and vice chair for at least
maybe more.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was three. Yeah,
yeah, and then I'll say that Commissioner Kuhn's term is ending next year, whereas Commissioner Pistone's is renewed for a second term for 4 years. So if that changes anything.
Okay, well, can we conduct a roll call vote for Commissioner Kunz?
Yep. So for approval to select Commissioner Kunz as vice chair for the Sustainability Commission, Commissioner Kunz is absent. So Commissioner Jansen, how do you vote? I thought that was your vote.
Really emphatic now.
Sorry. Go ahead. Oh.
You can abstain as well. Or if you need time, we can wait if you all need time.
Discussion.
I need a minute or two.
Okay, I can come back to you. Commissioner Pronto?
I abstained.
Vice Chair Nabhan?
Abstain.
Commissioner Ford?
Abstain.
Commissioner Chang?
Abstain.
And Commissioner Pistone?
Abstain.
And then back to Commissioner Jansen.
Wow. Thank you for having faster brain cells than mine. I'll vote yes just to give it out because I do think he would do an amazing job. So, and it is his last term, so I'll be different.
Sounds good. So we have one yes and five abstain. So now we can move on to Commissioner Pistone. So for approval to select Commissioner Pistone as vice chair for the Sustainability Commission, Commissioner Chang, how do you vote?
Wait, can I abstain twice? Or
I think you have to vote, Lily. Yeah.
Yes.
Vice Chair Nabhan?
Yes.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Jansen?
I have to abstain, so I'll abstain. But you'll do great.
Commissioner Pronto?
Yes.
Commissioner Koons is absent. And Commissioner Pistone?
Yes.
Okay, so we have 5 yeses and 1 abstain and 1 absent. So by majority, the motion passes to approve Commissioner Pistone as vice chair for the Sustainability Commission. Congratulations.
Hope I won't let you down.
Do you want to speak on your motion, on this motion?
Thanks for the vote of confidence. I'll try not to let you down. Looking forward to working with you all for another 5 years. Four years. Yeah. Yep. Time. What is time?
Congratulations. I'm excited to work with you also. And I know that Commissioner Koons would have been a great choice also, but he's done this and I think it'd be great to have someone new to it. So congratulations. All right. Let's see. Sorry. Let's flip through all this. Next, we have consideration for potential study issues. As a reminder, there is a study issue form that commissioners can complete and submit to staff anytime during the year. Commissioners review, sponsor, and rank study issues. Have any potential study issues been submitted, Ms. Raby?
Yes, there have. So we have one that will be on our agenda for our next meeting in August, and then we will have 2 that will be on our agenda in September.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, the next portion of the agenda is for oral reports and announcements by commissioners and staff to share information. Do commissioners have any non-agenda items or comments? A reminder to my colleagues to use the raised hand button to indicate they wish to speak. Commissioner Jansen.
I have just one, that the California Department of Toxic Substances Control, the DTSC, is currently soliciting public comment as it's considering adding microplastics to its candidate chemicals list. And I know microplastics are a very popular point of discussion both here and beyond. Comments must be submitted by the end of Monday, August 4th. And you can find more information by Googling DTSC microplastic chemical list if anyone is interested.
Commissioner Peronto.
I would remind our fellow commissioners and the members of the public that there are incentives for various clean energy activities that are available for at least another 6 months. And so if you're in a position where you can take advantage of these incentives, please encourage people who can do it to get moving forward, because that 6 months isn't a long time to get something in place. And the amount of funding that's available is significant. I'm working on one for my home for bidirectional charging, distributed storage, and I hope others are as well. So these incentives are going to disappear pretty soon. Don't miss them.
All right, seeing no other commissioner comments, Council Member Srinivasan, do you have any non-agenda items or comments you'd like to make?
No, except seeing I'm back home for at least next 6 months. Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Raby, do you have any non-agenda items or staff comments?
Yes, I do. So I'm going to go over our events recap first, and then I'll just talk about our upcoming event and our next meeting, and then our TC MAC or tentative council meeting agenda calendar. So first up on our event recap, on May 17th, we had National River Cleanup Day, and we had 9 volunteers out picking up trash along the one of the channels in Sunnyvale. The following day, May 18th, we had our EV ride and drive event, and we had 118 in-person registrants and about 200 registrants online wanting to test ride an EV at our event. And that was at Baylands Park. June 18th, we had our sustainability speaker series event. It was the last one for the past fiscal year. And it was titled Cleaner Stormwater, Cleaner Bay. And we had 38 attendees. And then June 23rd, we had at the library, the Electrify Your Life series, Soaking Up Solar Benefits with Actera. And we had 40 attendees at that event. And then upcoming events, we usually the summer season is our off season for events, but we do have National Night Out coming up, and that is on August 5th. And so we will have our staff going out to different neighborhoods promoting our environmental services programs. So our next meeting is going to be planned for Monday, August 18th, here in the Redwood Conference Room, room 140 at City Hall, and it starts at 7 p.m. as always. And then for the TCMAC, or Tentative Council Meeting Agenda Calendar, I have a couple dates that I wanted to highlight here, and then some items that I thought you all would be interested in. So July 29th, there's an item called Tasman Pedestrian and Bicycle Improvement Study. And then on August 12th, there's three items on the agenda calendar right now. So at 6 p.m., there's a special council meeting on study session. It's a study session. It's going to be on climate budgeting. So it's going to be pretty much the same exact presentation you all got tonight from Madeline and I. We're going to be taking this to city council to get their input and recommendations on next steps on how to potentially incorporate climate budgeting into our current process. And then later in the evening, that same night, August 12th, there's another item titled Authorize the City Manager to Execute the Smart Station Merchant User Agreement between City of Sunnyvale and City of Cupertino. So we are adding the City of Cupertino into our contract to haul waste to our facility. On August 12th, another following item is going to be amend various sections of Title 16, Buildings and Construction of the Sunnyvale Municipal Code to adopt by reference the 2022 California Energy and Green Building Standards Code with local amendments and related findings. And then there's a couple other items that I'll punt over to Madeline to explain a little bit more about, but it's our reach codes essentially.
Yes. So August 12th, we're hearing reach codes for the 2022 building code, not 2025. And then you'll see later in the TCMAC, there are time slots for the 2025 building code to be heard and updated. There was a bill, AB 306, which was called, I think, the housing bill or something along those lines, which was the intention was to fast track residential construction by doing a number of things, one of which was pausing any updates to the California building code for 6 years, starting this year. The bill evolved on a daily basis, and then it got fast-tracked through the legislative process. I've learned a lot about our California legislative process this year. And then it actually got folded into SB or AB 103, I think, or 130. 130, AB 130, thank you. And then it got adopted as part of, it was like trailered in, basically. So it's been law for a week now or two. So what that means is that we have an opportunity to update our code currently, and we have to meet a deadline by September 30th in order for that to be in effect. So we put on our sprinting shoes, and you're getting something to council August 12th. So that way we can have some existing building electrification incentives in place for the next 6 years. Commercial is not touched by this, and we will be able to update building code around commercial during this 6-year hiatus on the residential side. So August 12th is going for its first public hearing reading. It will be followed up by a second reading, but, you know, not much changes typically in that span. And then it's really just a game of wait and see and hope that how we're interpreting what the deadlines are and what has to be done by those deadlines is what we're following. We do have some additional, there are some exemptions in this bill that got adopted, the law, that we could fall back on if for whatever reason our 2022 amendment isn't. So the idea is that we amend 2022, and then because we won't be substantially changing it between 2022 and 2025, we'll just get like to do a rollover of our 2022 REACH code into 2025 building code. So then when we adopt 2025, we're good. If for whatever reason that doesn't work out, there's another exemption pathway that we're also fairly confident in. However, this bill was just, it was fast and furious and written very unclearly. So we've had a lot of legal minds looking at it, a lot of building officials looking at it. It's been a really hot topic in the state of California. We had our California Climate and Energy Collaborative Conference in the first week of July. So it was all of the local municipalities within California got together with representatives from state agencies to talk about all things related to climate and energy. It was a great conference. It was local in San Jose. So our staff all got to attend for free. Wonderful. They hosted a lunch to talk about this that was filled with easily over 100 people. and the message at that point in time is the same as what I've heard as of Thursday, which was, we're not quite sure this is what we think it means. So this is what you can do. Here's a couple pathways. Sunnyvale, luckily, is going for this really fast sprint, and a handful of other cities are. So that's an update on that and why it might be confusing to see some 2022 code updates coming now and 2025 ones closely following. The SEAT conference was great. Great staff attended. That was really fun. We got to see Commissioner, now no longer Commissioner Veach, was there and did some presentations on her work with the county, which was really exciting. So just an update that we all got to attend and learn a lot of really cool stuff.
All right, now let's look at our annual work plan. Ms. Raby, can you share the work plan?
Yes. So for new commissioners, this is our yearly work plan. And usually in, I believe, October is where I will create this draft, a draft of this exact template for the next year. And then in November, we vote on the final version. You have the opportunity in October to provide feedback on different items you would like to see on the agenda or the work plan for the following year. And then I will incorporate those. And then in November, we vote on that final version, and we can make a few edits as well during that meeting. And then I will submit this work plan to City Council. And then what they do is they approve the work plans for all of the different boards and commissions. So this one will be included in that. So for now, this is our 2025 work plan. And so I usually at the end of this meeting just highlight what's coming up for the next month, and then we can discuss if there's anything that we want to move up or move around. So for August, we have a pretty light agenda. So it's the item is recommendation to the Council Subcommittee on Board and Commission Effectiveness. And so that's a pretty quick and easy agenda item. I'm thinking about moving the annual review of code of ethics and conduct for elected and appointed officials up a little bit, leaving December open for potentially us to cancel that meeting. But if staff for some reason have an update that they need to provide to you, we'll have that space open. But that's kind of what I'm thinking right now. And then in the following months, we have some other updates from staff coming up. And then this portion down here is items yet to be scheduled. We can discuss if there's anything here that you all want to talk about. This commission has the opportunity for commissioners to give their own presentations on certain topics that they are interested in that fall in line and under the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission. So we have several here listed. Couple of them are Commissioner Jansen's presentations, and then also Commissioner Pronto selected one as well. And then below that, we have additional presentations and updates from staff requested by the commission. So these are also items we can talk about now. But that is the work plan. And if there's any discussion on this, we can do that now. We can open that up now.
Commissioner Jansen.
Yeah, so since those have my name on them, I'm still interested in them. And now that we have Commissioner Chang, maybe we can make some progress on the youth group one. But okay. I don't have a timeline or anything yet. Do you want to leave them on there, or do you want me to take them off and then put them back once leaving them on is okay?
You can leave them on. And even if for some reason it gets pushed out to next year, if you, once we get to October, if, you know, if the agenda is pretty packed and we're not seeing space for it, you can also propose to move this up to next year's okay. agenda and we'll place that there.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Ford.
What is the residential parking study referring to?
Yeah, so that actually was supposed to be for August. I don't know if Madeline knows a little bit more about it, but I know that our community development staff are planning on submitting a presentation for you all for an update on residential parking. Is it a... Yeah, I'm not really sure exactly what it is. I just know that that staff in community development planning specifically wanted to give you all a presentation on this because then it's going to go to council. But they are a little bit behind, and so they asked me to pull it from the agenda. It will be up in the coming months, and I can get more clarity on that once I move it back up to the agenda.
All right, seeing no additional questions, this meeting is adjourned at 8:27. I want to thank everyone for your participation in tonight's meeting, and have a great evening. Thank you.